This honestly, like I put this in my notes as well, but this documentary stressed me out more than watching Handmaid's Tale.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I feel that too. You know why? Because this actually happened.
It's like a dystopia, but it actually happened. Like it's.
It's wild, dude. This will also be like a double episode in that it's Woodstock and also Catherine's drunk. So it's
Is that deserving of a whole episode? And I'm not drunk. I am tipsy. There was a line there.
the head movement is exaggerated. It's way too much, dude. So to update, so we're not gonna do news anymore. It kind of hit me when I was like in the shower. I was just like, why am I doing news? Why have I been doing this for the past year? Like, I've always wondered that. I was just like, usually when the episodes come out, the news we have is already outdated, you know? And I was just like, let's just not do it anymore. But we are continuing with a traditional portion of our show, which is called What is Annoying Catherine Today, This Week? What is annoying you, bro?
I mean, nothing, because I put in my 2 weeks' notice at my job and
All
I got a new
right.
one.
Insert
It's a
applause.
good week for Catherine.
Jesus Christ, dude. All right, I can't fucking wait. Let's see. It's been a while since we've had a one-on-one episode, I feel like. It's been a minute.
Has. We've been having a lot of guests
True.
recently.
A lot of guests. We've had a lot of fun guests. But I think this time we definitely wanted to do something special and something I had to put a gun to Catherine's head and make do, basically. So,
Make me, I just kept forgetting, and you had to remind me.
all right. So,
There's the difference.
I'm sure I'll have to remind you that we're going to talk about the 2000s now.
I'm sorry, I thought this was about the 2010s. I'm very confused.
Roll the credits, dude. Just fucking roll it, dude.
I would also like to apologize if you hear noise in the background because my kitten is playing with her ball chaser and it's making some fun noises. Oh, she heard her name, kitten.
What's her name?
Rumor.
All right,
Rumor
so
Glenn, are you familiar?
okay, so we're gonna just continue on with the episode. We're going rumor, like I get it, you're white, all right? You don't have to.
No, it's a Demi Moore's eldest child.
I get it, you're white. I understand, dude.
Demi Moore has three children, Rumor,
Children.
Tallulah, and
She has
Scout.
children, dude.
And we're gonna have three cats, and they're gonna be named Rumor, Tallulah, and Scout. We already got the rumor. Just looking for a Tallulah and a Scout.
Fucking awesome, dude. So we decided, really, I decided that we're gonna go back to our roots this week. We're gonna go back to Woodstock. Woo! Woodstock
What really kicked
99.
off the 2000s, like really set the tone.
Anthony Kiedis said that that's when the 90s died, and he was fucking right because he literally had a hand in murdering it. It was so Woodstock 99, the HBO film, the documentary, is pretty fucking great, I will say. I also feel like it was a little watered down.
I have some beef with it.
I think there's just a lot to take from this. And I also feel like it wasn't, I don't know. There's so much to dive in. I do implore people to watch it if you've never like seen the stories. It is a kind of a spark note, if you will, of the chaos.
Can I start off
Sure.
our discussion of the documentary
Sure. Yes.
by discussing one of my least favorite parts of the documentary, which was also how the documentary itself started?
Yes.
The director putting himself in front of the camera and
Yes.
introducing himself and
Yes.
saying, But first I was thinking like, oh, like it's like a comedy, but then I realized it played out more like a horror film.
It really devolves into that.
I have a lot of issues with this intro.
Okay.
One, why is the director putting himself on camera? Okay. I don't need to know who he is. He was only there for that bit. He's not a character. Why do I give a shit what he thinks? Two, why is he pitching to me what he wanted the film to be in his process of making the film? This is not a pitch video. This is not a GoFundMe campaign video. Why do I care? Three, what do you mean it's like a comedy? At what point do you say hundreds of women were sexually assaulted and think that that's going to be a comedy? At what point is that not a horror film? How many people died? You're telling me this is a comedy? Anyway, so that's, I have a lot of beef with the way that this documentary started, but that's just me. It was just a bad start for me. I think you are correct.
You are correct.
Like, I think if he hadn't started it like that, I wouldn't feel quite as negatively towards the documentary as a whole, like as a piece of film that I do. But I think that was an awful way to start it. It was entirely unnecessary. He did not have to play it like that.
I think the direction really found its way in the middle of the film, you know, when they get to day two of the festival. Because you kind of see where the intro was. I think they initially, or they really poorly showed the chaos and the depravity of it by making it really fun and just like, you know, like, oh, it was a great time, but all these things happened and let's check it out, you know? And so I saw what they were trying to do, and starting off on a high note. But you can't start off a film on a high note and then mention sexual assault and still ride that high note wave. Like, it doesn't hit the same. You kind of hold that back a little bit till like the second act, bro. And so you're absolutely correct. That was very weird.
I had some issues with like the filmmaking process as a whole. I think like if you're looking at it like as a documentary film and not like subject matter, I don't think it was that well made. I think it's just that the subject itself is something that is interesting in a train wreck, I can't look away kind of way, but I don't think it's necessarily well made. You know what
I mean? Do you think COVID kind of ruined like what was made out of this? Like, I feel like that there were opportunities to go back to this town and like see what it is like, you know, 20 years later.
And see
the scars of war. That was Woodstock 99.
I feel like it didn't have that many effects in that sense. And I think it's, for me at least, it was more of a storytelling issue. Where it felt like they kept kind of dipping into things, but they never kind of quite committed to any one thing. And yet never really gave the full context to anything either. So they just kind of dipped into stuff. But as soon as it would get kind of interesting, they'd be like, and we're moving on to something else. And you're like,
and then Clinton and then Bill Clinton.
Like, I just don't think the storytelling in the documentary was very organized or well done. Like, I just don't think they really put together a story all that well is my issue.
Do you feel like it was just a highlight reel?
The facts of what happened at Woodstock, but I don't feel like I learned that much from it because I already knew the facts.
Yeah, I mean, we literally knew
the bad things that happened, but it's like it didn't really give me any new insight from that.
We fucking provided the world an exclusive.
Yeah, like if you've done any research into Woodstock 99, none of this is really new information. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did love seeing the VHS footage that they were able to find.
Yeah,
of other, I thought that was pretty cool. To see like people's perspectives and like, yeah, we're having fun and. Seeing like two dudes like, all right, we're gonna go to the bathrooms and there's just shit everywhere and people are rolling in shit. It's just like, and then people like a lot of these people are parents, you know, and they were just rolling in shit at some point in their early 20s, and I was just like, holy fuck, like, couldn't it be me, dude? Would you try, if we had the chance to time travel to Woodstock, would you go?
No. Absolutely not.
I think we should go.
I'm a woman. I'm
not
trying to get raped.
I know, but
you know what I mean?
But if we brought some bros, if we brought like security, you know what I mean?
No.
Oh, shit. You don't want to drink the water that people bathed in, dude?
No.
That was so fucking gross. That was so fucking gross. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that, the intro, and just like the overall intro vibes. I wasn't a big fan of Moby being in this fucking film.
Yeah, why was he there?
What a self-important piece of shit. Like, he really saw that, like, in the footage, like, they show, like, he's naming all the bands on there. It's just like, who's going to care about Korn, Limp Bizkit 20 years down the road? I'm like, people literally give a shit about them more than you.
He's like, all these bands don't respect women, and, like, the fans had negative vibes. And what did you say he did?
He tried to hit on Natalie Portman when she was, like, 14. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, why are we hearing from him?
It's in this fucking book.
I think if this documentary had less white men.
Less white people.
I think really I could apply that to most things in this life. It's just less white
men
would have gotten a better rating from
me. If anything, that's a commentary, because they literally, the whole critique was on just angry white men. And then they had more white men on the thing critiquing the whole thing.
Can we talk about the part where they were like, oh, pop was rising, like Britney Spears and the Backstreet Boys, and that made people mad, and that's why all these white men were angry, because pop existed. Because
pop existed.
What? 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 No.
I just want people who are listening to know, if you're like a concurrent listener, the energy that Catherine is bringing is a lot. And I'm energetic.
I didn't even know how stressed I was watching this entire documentary.
It's a stressful film, dude.
Because I watched the first half before work and then the second half after.
It's a lot.
Like, I had to watch the first half and then go to work. Okay. And then I had to come back from my job and watch more.
Yeah.
That's not good on my psyche. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was up in the middle of the night last night thinking about Woodstock. Like, I woke up in the middle of the night and I just thought about Woodstock for a while.
You can just hear Korn in the back.
Like, it's breaking my brain.
It is. Yeah, Moby shouldn't have been in this movie. Like, literally anybody else should have been in this film.
They couldn't get anybody else. Korn, who was
Jonathan Davis. Yeah.
I liked his presence better. Like, if there's going to be a white man, I didn't mind his too much.
I'll take him.
Who worked for Woodstock, the founder and the promoter, they can go suck my ass.
The founder was just a fucking bumbling idiot. He just wanted people to play music and vibe. Like,
he's like, yes, everyone love one another.
Sounds
like something a white man would say.
You know, it's just like, it's real fun. Like, you know, money. And like, even the video of him during the first one in like the fucking 60s. And he's just like, I don't know, man, just a lot of planning, you know, just want everyone to have a good time.
The promoter did the thing.
That guy's a fucking piece of
sexual assaults, where he's like, well, if the women are walking around naked, it's like,
well, if you're going to
walk around without shirts, you think people are grabbing them?
Yeah, like, he was like, yeah, if you're gonna walk around,
it would have been
your
right if
tits out,
had, but like, there's,
it's almost like asking for it, you know.
I was real mad about the asking for it card,
dude. He's such a piece of shit. Literally did not even, like, in the footage of when shit was going down and journalists were yelling at him like, hey, this is happening, and he's like, no, you're a bunch of liars, you're with MTV. Like, it was a big fake news moment.
He actively blamed MTV multiple times for setting the tone. And it's like, you think MTV is the reason this is happening?
Yeah.
Like, that being said, there's no one, like, person or entity or anything like that to blame. Like, this is a accumulation of a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no one thing.
Correct.
And that's my issue about the documentary, is it felt like it was trying to find one source.
You can't.
But it never really picked one, but it also never really showed the full context and, like, and really expressed the idea that it was like a number of things and not just like one or two things, you know?
Correct.
Like, it's just like, here's what a bunch of people think is the reason that happened.
Yeah.
The end. So like, I do have some issues with it because of that.
Another white guy I did appreciate. Hey, what's up? Another white guy I appreciated was Dave Holmes, who worked for MTV for a long time.
Which one was that?
He was like a short curly haired dude. He worked for MTV for a long time with Carson Daly and shit. He also has a podcast. But I literally grew up on this motherfucker, and he's incredibly knowledgeable about everything that went down. And he was just like, yeah, the moment we got, he talked about like the moment that they got there, they were just like, yeah, they don't want us here. We should not be here. And they just pelted Carson Daly with fucking bottles. Like, Carson Daly was like my after school, like the first guy I saw on TV, because TRL came on at 3 o'clock and I got out of school around like 2:30, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I never watched TRL, so
it was a fun time, dude.
I got there like Woodstock happened because there were pop stars and rock stars on TRL, and the two don't mix.
Yeah, the two don't mix, but it's just like there's a never-ending equation of what led to this, but really the one factor is, and that they tried to bring out of the promoter and the founder and the organizers into admitting, was that it was really their fault. This was just this is like a recipe for horrible logistics, bad planning. Like, why would you have a festival in the middle of July on tarmac, dude? Like, why are you having an airfield fest without any water, not letting people bring in water and letting people fucking shower where people are drinking, and their security was trash? Like, people just caught the security t-shirts. I wonder if they're selling them on Depop for like $200 fucking dollars.
Well, like, there were,
I would fucking buy one, dude.
There were a lot of like security, I think, cultural things that were happening
in society
as a whole that caused this, but I think they were like, it was all preventable if the festival itself had been planned differently. And like they were saying, like the lineup of like a lot of very aggressive bands and then like one woman per day.
That was hilarious, dude. That was, I never noticed that, one woman per day. And you know what's even worse? As they got godlike women to perform.
Cool. And the way they were like, oh, well, you know, we really just like, they either fucking had to be Joel, like, dude, a crazy, like really good rock band, or they just had to have that amazing presence. It's like people who are like, well, it's not my fault. Well, like, if women were just better at music, we would have signed more women, but they aren't good at music, so we only signed three.
How do you invite Jesus? That's what it felt like. How do you invite God herself, Alanis Morissette?
Joel, Alanis Morissette, and what was the third one? Help me.
Sheryl Crow.
Dude, part of the lore, dude. Sheryl Crow
and Alanis Morissette are the only female musicians with talent, according to the Woodstock
people. You've lost your spot in the crow's nest.
Sheryl Crow looks so good at Woodstock 99. I was like, holy shit. But Alanis Morissette rolling her eyes during her song was fucking iconic. Right. She was so over it. She was like, get me the fuck out of here, dude.
Who was it they were chanting the show me your tits at?
Rosie Perez,
dude. With like fucking depravity, dude. That was awful. Like, that woman deserves every amount of respect. And it's just white guys just screaming, show me your tits over and over.
They kept saying, like, it was just a bunch of white dudes. I'm like, huh, I wonder what direction that will go. Yeah. Bunch of angry white men.
One of my favorite things.
Go in a good direction.
One of my favorite things is, what's his name from The Offspring, telling guys to fucking chill out and telling women to grab their nuts, and then going into la, 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 la. It's my favorite. That's one of my favorite parts ever. Like, it didn't make any sense, dude.
Well, also,
the pot calling the kettle black.
Can we talk about like everyone blaming Fred Durst for inciting a riot when like, who is the other group?
People still do.
Yeah, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like, they weren't any better. No one's blaming them.
Yeah. But it's just, even the mayor was just like, please get them to calm down. And he was just like, and he was just like, let's just play Fire by Jimi Hendrix. And they just started more fires. But it wasn't their fault. They were literally in the middle of it anyway.
But blame... the documentary also was not blaming them for anything.
No.
Like, Fred Durst, like, break stuff in front of a bunch of angry white men and they broke things. But like,
and also, you shouldn't give people candles during the summer in a festival.
Well, those like, were the nonprofits who like had good intentions with them, and then a bunch of angry, like,
it was about gun violence. How much has changed, has it?
Where it's like all the points met to create the perfect disaster.
It was a perfect disaster, which was amazing. Like, if anything, that nonprofit should have been sued because they literally provided the fuel for this shit. They were just like, everybody, let's hold hands and let's fucking come together. Like, it was just this like glazed eye, even on the founder. Like, they just wanted this like fantasy of what the 60s were, which wasn't even that great to be fucking begin with. Mm-hmm. Like, it was awful, and it was so much, it wasn't as bad, but it was pretty fucking awful. People OD'd and shit during the first Woodstock, but there's this like kind of like masturbatory mysticism around what it was, because Jimi Hendrix set his guitar on fire and Carlos Santana was tripping on acid when he's playing his guitar, and that's fucking awesome, right? And like, imagine if Janis Joplin was still alive during that time, like, and they put her on the bill after Limp Bizkit. Who would have given a shit? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this was not the fucking crowd. Like, the whole bit about Creed bringing out the guitarist from the Doors was so cringe. It was so cringe, dude. And then
Creed also was interviewed as well. The guy, one of the guys from Creed,
Scott Stapp. Yeah, Scott Stapp. What a fucking psycho. That guy.
Creed is so dumb.
Here's the thing with Creed, and I'll stand by this. That is a bad band with a great guitarist. That is just a bad band with a really great guitar. Like, he's like, if you look that dude up, like, he's an amazing musician. But that's just a bad band.
I need you to know that, generally speaking, Hope is an extremely positive person who, like, isn't really going to be very hateful about any one musical group. But she apparently was like, oh, I'll hate Creed any day.
Yeah, Creed's awful.
I hate Creed.
Creed's awful. Creed's awful. But if, like, Higher starts playing in, like, a JCPenney, I'm going to start singing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just gonna flow out of me, dude.
Well, can we talk about
it's so mean, it's so triggered.
Can we talk about the thing with the riots and the fires, and when the police riot squad came in, about how, like, if it had happened at a hip-hop concert, it would have gone down very differently? Can we just talk about that real quick?
No one would riot at a hip-hop concert, just kind of letting you know.
But, like, I mean, basically, like, if it had been like Black people rioting versus white people, like, how different the police would have treated
Oh,
them.
dude.
Can we just talk about the white privilege at Woodstock real quick? Just, like, mention that, because that's, like, also a huge part of this.
Yeah, they do mention. It's just, like, literally DMX got over 100,000 white people to say the N-word with him during his songs. Like, yeah, that was just
the way they, like, started. They didn't start the documentary with that, but I feel like it was one iconic, of the first moments from the actual festival itself, and it was really hard to watch.
I will reference, like, rest in peace fucking DMX, like, the absolute goat. Like, the energy of one man to control that much is still, it will always fascinate me, like, in a commanding artist, like, the charisma to make you say the N-word
with your
fellow white brothers, like, you know, it's just like, oh, he's saying it, so we can say it too. It's okay. And so, like, it's just amazing. And also, Kanye did the same thing at Glastonbury when it was fucking iconic, and he got them all to say it, like, in unison. It was absolutely insane. My dog's at the door. What else? That was, yeah, Creed's awful. Creed. Really fucking bad. Scott Stapp, so delusional. He's like, yeah, it was all about love and just, like, trying to bring them all together, you know? And it was just, and, like, they were making a point, like, who gives a fuck about the Doors, dude? Like, no one is coming here for Creedence Clearwater, bro. Like, who the fuck are these people? It was weird to see James Brown being first up to open up the festival. Very weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
Did not fit. But people vibed.
I say the one bit where the promoter said that there were just some knuckleheads, and it was MTV's fault for setting the tone? He said all these white men who were rent, who were all these white men who were rioting were just a couple knuckleheads just who showed up.
A couple of knuckleheads. Awful. Fucking horseshit, dude. Like, no. Like, I would guess you're a knucklehead if you, like, I don't know. That's a very school term from, like, the fucking 50s. If you put a thumbtack on, like, your teacher's chair, you know.
Yeah.
Or just said some idiotic shit, you're a knucklehead. But you don't commit sexual assault and fucking rape at a music festival and just get a fucking pat in the back, and, you know.
Think about every person who in this documentary was like, oh, I had a good time. It was like Woodstock is a really magical experience. Think of one person that wasn't a white man.
That's true. Like, they even put the camera on, like, the very few black people that were in the fucking crowd.
And there were not a lot.
There were not a lot.
Like, I think they had one picture where everyone had their hands up and there was not a hand with melanin to be seen.
Especially when it got to the actual riots, like when the sun went down and everybody was sitting around fires, there was not a woman, there was not a person of color. It was just
a lot of angry white men, because you know they got a lot to be angry at.
It was just a lot. You know, like, that kind of shit won't happen again aside from Firefest, but that was just like another lesson in horrible planning and bad logistics.
And you know that one of my notes just says Woodstock is actually just white men being oppressed for the first time because they had to pay $4 for water.
Yeah. I think the highest I read it got to was maybe $20 for like a bottle. And I will say, people like, I think I read on Reddit that like people like would all the volunteers would raise up the prices and then skim all the differences and pocket it, which I'm like, that's really fucked up of you, but also kind of genius if you're just a volunteer, you trying to make some money, you know. And at that point it was a lawless field, because you saw the mural that they tried to make, it was like about peace and love, and which was like a gorgeous mural, but then they trashed it and burned it down.
Yeah.
And they fucking broke it. Holy shit. Like, I couldn't imagine that. You know? I will say Korn put an amazing performance.
For sure. Yeah, a lot of them did. It's just a lot of it was bad timing with
it's bad logistics.
The crowd.
It's bad crowd management, because there's like a news piece where like at like a Limp Bizkit show in Australia for Big Day Out, like a girl died because she was like trampled to death.
Yeah.
And you know, they even I think years later they had a tribute show for her, because like they're like, you don't want people dying at your shows. That's awful. And so basically, like, if you see festivals now, they have like this, like, there's like a break in like the guardrail, there's like a part in the middle to split people up, so there's not people like all bunching up, so it kind of breaks up the whole crowd and there's more room to move.
Yeah.
Which at the time wasn't the industry standard, and that's why, like, I think we'll talk about it like a little later, but about like the Coachella thing, they started to put that in because those barriers help with crowd control.
Yeah.
And for security, get people out and in way better than having to come to the front. And security can be in the middle and on the outskirts as well to help people out. Because it does get rowdy even now. But to these levels, never again. Yeah. Never again.
Well, and how they kept talking about Woodstock 69, how it's just like, oh, it's just this perfect, amazing place where everyone gets along and it's just peace and love. And it's like, if you think about what was happening politically during like late 60s,
everyone was pretty unified,
all getting along and loving each other.
Yeah,
like there was a lot of like other things happening in society at that time. Like,
yeah, I mean, like the big thing was the war, and I think, and this was post Civil Rights Act. And so at this point, it's just Vietnam. And mm-hmm. everybody, like, it didn't matter who you were unified against going to fucking war. Yeah. Nobody wanted to fucking do that. And so that, in that moment, and also the culture, the music had changed. Like, society had changed from the fucking right. 60s to now. And well, so to have that mentality in the 90s, you're so fucking wrong.
Right. Well, and they were talking about how it's like these baby boomers just so desperately wanted the next generation to experience what they
the Doors.
But that's not simply going to happen. And I feel like, I kind of feel like maybe it's just me as a millennial Gen Z cusp projecting, but like, it kind of feels like the baby boomers are still doing that. Like, you have to live life the way I lived life.
Correct.
But you know how just don't work like that.
You know how cringe it is to see people on Facebook share like pictures from the like the 50s and like the 60s. Say, I was born in the wrong era. I'm like, no, dude, you would have been in a colored only bathroom, bro. Like, I just want you to know that. Okay, I know who you are, Raul. I saw you. Okay, fuck face, fucking idiot. It's not my fault you can't get a girlfriend, dude. Crazy, fucking morons, dude. Like, they really push that ideal onto Woodstock 99, which you have to be mindful of your current culture. Like, do you know how hype it would have been if the Backstreet Boys had headlined Woodstock? Like, my mind would have melted. They come on after Korn. My mind would have melted, dude.
Well, do you know who headlined Coachella that year?
No, let me look it up.
I don't either, because because then the one thing that really confused me about this documentary is how it went so pro Coachella, like right there at the end.
Because they properly planned it. They properly had every logistics. They had a tier of, you know, they had started to, they were like an indie film fest.
But
they
were like an indie like music it's fest. Like Coachella is the answer.
Gorgeous, because like, LA and also grass, the weather's better. They're not in upstate New York in a goddamn airfield, you know? It's better. Like, it was way better managed.
It was better managed, but way like, did this have to turn into Coachella propaganda?
So here's the 2 day in Indio, California.
Think Coachella's trying to be like, because part of the issue of Woodstock, part of the reason Woodstock went down is capitalism. They wanted money.
They wanted money.
$4 for water and not letting people bring in food and water because they wanted them to spend all that money.
Comrade, so a large Catherine part of
the reason Woodstock happened the way it is because of greed and money. And you can't tell me that Coachella is not doing the same shit.
No, now, fuck yeah. Every festival right now is just popping up that money, because if you really want to have fun, you better be a VIP. Yeah. Or you better be a VIP plus and then a VIP extra.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So here's who headlined Coachella 99. Rage Against the Machine, Tool, Beck, The Chemical Brothers, Morrissey, Perry Farrell, Cornelius, Pavement, Money Mark. Who the fuck are these people? Underworld, love Underworld, dude. Art of Noise. This was like a lot of electronic. Moby did not headline. He was mid-tier in the bill. Thank fucking
God. Wow, Moby.
Thievery Corporation. If you're not a fan of that band, you should check them out. I think they're from DC. I have one of their albums. They're fucking fantastic. Plastic Man, Juan Atkins. Who the fuck are these people? Modest Mouse. Oh my God. DJ Shadow, Spearhead, Gil Scott Heron. That's crazy. Rozelle, Cool Keith. Oh my fucking God, Jurassic 5 was on this bill. It's crazy. Yeah, it just gets indier and indier.
Yeah.
MC question mark?
Well, I mean, it kind of starts off similar to Woodstock in terms of lineup. Like, if you look at some of the first headliners, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like...
Rage, baby.
I mean, stop trying to blame the metal and new metal and rock bands, because, like, they're just reflecting the energy of that time period. Like, they didn't cause the rage, they're a child of the rage.
It was already there. It was already there.
Okay, so they respond to it.
Yeah
it was already there to begin with, so it's like if anything. And it was also like they were saying, it's white guys in their early mid-20s, just hormonal, alone, humongous cockfest. If anything, like, this was just like a massive cockfest. And okay. So you want to take it out, and then the music, you're using it as an excuse to vent that anger and rage and just like push people. Like,
well, it's like stop blaming the music genre for someone's attitude. You don't listen to My Chemical Romance and get depressed. You are depressed, and then you listen to My Chemical Romance because you're depressed.
Facts.
Like,
facts. Gerard, when are you dropping the album, dude? Please tell me Gerard Way listens to our podcast. Please, dude. Please. If you fucking listen, please give me a sign. Please. Please, dude. I will fucking lick your toes just to get backstage. Please, dude.
I'm putting that in the description.
I will lick Gerard Way's toes. 1,000%, dude. 1,000%, dude. That's a vibe. Hope is looking at me like I'm weird. Like,
I'm just learning things about you.
I'm trying to get VIP, girl. I'm trying to have fun. Straight up. Like, why would I want to be in like a mosh pit full of sweaty people when I could be like on the side chilling?
That's like when we went to see Fiddler and Dilly Dally.
Yeah, we were hanging on the balcony. We were chilling.
I loved hanging on the balcony. I'm like, I gotta watch all the moshing and not be a part of it, and I can still see everything really well.
Yeah.
Like, why would someone want? I'm like, that just sounds exhausting to me.
Hell yeah.
That being said, I also would never go to a festival because one, I don't have money. Two, it sounds exhausting. I'm a glamper, you know.
I remember when Free Fest was around, and that was fun because it was free. Yeah. And that was a lot of fun for a while, you know, but then they were like, oh, this isn't profitable. And then they stopped doing it. I did feel bad for the guy of his friend who died during the Metallica show, which is a fucking way to go. Yeah,
just especially it. Since he straight up just died from hypothermia. Like that
hypothermia, like, dude.
Killed him. Like
the medics killed him.
Hypothermia and they shocked him. So that was something that like was so easily preventable and it happened, and like that's really, really fucked up.
It's fucking tragic.
Happened, yeah.
Like
it's really upsetting.
I also didn't know, because I'm also kind of, I'm just a knucklehead. I didn't know you could like legit get hypothermia from like being in that much heat.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Hyperthermia. Hypo is when your body is too low in temperature, and hyper, I think, is when
hyper. Okay. I
think the captions kept saying hypo though.
Yeah, the captions kept saying hypo.
That's why I think I got confused. So I'm like, wait a minute.
And I think a couple of the people kept saying hypo because it's very easy to mishear because they're both dumb words.
Well, was I gonna say? Yeah. Well, at my job, our like safety issue of the month for the last 3 months has been heat stress.
Holy shit, dude! So. No, because you are in Georgia, and it's when it gets fucking hot in the South, it gets fucking hot.
Well, and I
so those are things to really look out for.
Like, it can be like 95 degrees outside, and it's over 100 in the greenhouse. Like, it's pretty hellish.
Jesus.
And when you're doing like manual labor, like it's pretty awful.
Two more,
especially with the masks.
Yikers, dude! 2 more weeks, dude. God damn it. Like, also another cringy bit, because they did try to highlight a lot of the, oh, let's throw it back to the 60s and a lot of references. Please tell me it wasn't like weird to see Wyclef poorly do a rendition of the national anthem on his guitar.
Oh my god,
that was so fucking awful to listen to and watch. And then he set the guitar on fire, and then it was just weird.
Yeah,
like it wasn't good. Like, he's never, also, I just want to say he was never a good guitarist to begin with.
Also, the whole thing with the rave bit, where I think it was Moby who was like, we were there and it's just like, the energy was just off, so we had to get out of there. But it's like, did anything happen with the rave?
Nothing happened to him. Nothing. Yeah. You know what?
He just went out and said, the vibe is off, I'm leaving.
Bad vibes, I'm out. I honestly think people who were in the rave tent probably had the most fun.
Yeah.
Everyone looked like they had a good time.
They slept all day, slept through all the drama.
There's just 18-year-olds doing acid, and I was just like, yo, this looks fucking awesome. Like, 90s raves hit way different. Them motherfuckers were rolling.
Ecstasy.
24 hours a day.
Oh,
like, the party, like, dude, the the rave tent didn't stop. Like, it was, it went on for fucking ever.
The thing is how they were like, oh, we have a 24-hour film festival. We have all these acts. And
that was weird.
Stages, and we have a rave tent. And the people were like, we're destroying the wall because we're bored. There's nothing else to do.
We're just here to pillage and fuck, bro.
I genuinely, it does not compute.
What do you rate this movie out of 10?
Like, as a film, as or a film. As my enjoyment to watch it?
I think as a film.
I'll give it like a 5 out of 10.
I'll give it a 7.
It had good parts.
It had good music.
I really failed to pull it all together.
Oh, you want to know a funny bit?
It's important. What's up?
So when they got to the Limp Bizkit part, where they started playing Break Stuff, I started singing along, and my wife goes, "You know this song?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I fucking love this song." "Jason, this is awful. Like, you saw what's happening, right? You're a part of that problem." I was just like, "Yo, this song slaps. What are you talking about?"
Dude, while we were watching it, Hope is like, "I've never heard this song before." And I'm like, "Oh, Jason's familiar. He loves Limp Bizkit."
Yeah, dude. LP groundbreaking band, dude.
Oh, God. If you were Woodstock, you would have been with them tearing shit down.
To be honest,
like, the music. I was just feeling the music.
To be honest, I would have been not in the middle, like in the front. I would have been in the back, like trying to set shit on fire.
Well, they interviewed
I will say that.
They interviewed that one guy who partook in like the riots and stuff.
Yeah.
He was like, "Oh, well, I never thought I'd be the kind of guy who like do riots, but then I was just doing it. Like, I don't even know what happened." And I'm like,
fucking
okay.
Fucking groupthink here, you know what I mean? Like, I never thought I would set sound equipment on fire, but here I am.
I was like, I think you have some rage that you need. I feel like you need therapy. And if you went to therapy, you'd realize
Remember the drum circle of trash cans?
Oh, that was another part that was so random. I'm like, why is this in this? Like, I mean, it's a Woodstock thing, but like, what does this have to do with the overall story?
And it was just people hitting trash cans with like their hands and sticks, not making anything but noise for like hours, and I was just like,
you know what, you know, screw the rave tent, those are the people that enjoyed themselves the most,
the people with, yeah, the drum
people
circle.
Who are just straight up banging on trash cans for 3 days straight. Yeah.
And what's crazy is like, I'm glad that people who managed festivals at the time and saw that, because it did, like, the cause of this was just bad management, bad planning, bad security, bad logistics. That's what ultimately caused it. I think if they had planned this shit like they do now, I don't think Woodstock 99 would have turned into the shitstorm it was. I think people would have been forced to organize, and I think there would have been way more organizers. There would have been things in line to keep shit in check. And security probably should have been paid more. TBH.
They should have been paid more, and there should have been like more screening and more training, because yeah, like that was a huge pool, because they were talking about how for a while it was like security just kind of started going to Woodstock, you know? Yeah. Like, they weren't being security,
they weren't letting people in with water. But if you had LSD, man, come on in, bro, come on in.
Yeah, like it's so there were, I think there were a lot of issues with the security, and it wasn't just like the being paid, but it was the properly training people. And
dude, all they did was watch a video and then grab a t-shirt.
Well, they were saying how the teacher for the licensing class or whatever went through the entire test question by question. So
yeah, I was like, yo, that's hype. I'm really curious if they're selling that shirt, a security shirt from Woodstock 99. I want to see if they're selling merch, like online. You know, if they are, I'll buy one.
See, all that makes me think of is when Urban Outfitters once sold that T-shirt that said Columbine on it, and had
I remember.
What,
you didn't know about that?
Yeah, they sold that.
If I did, I repressed it.
Urban Outfitters sold a t-shirt that had like Columbine High School or whatever on it, and then had like blood splatters on it, and they sold that. as like a t-shirt. Yeah.
And they also
got that, they got in big trouble for it. People got real Nike, mad at them, but they
after the Boston bombing, the Nike stores would sell Boston Strong and have blood splatter on it. And it was fucking horrendous. Like frame one, they started selling that shit.
All right, just a blanket statement. Anytime there's a disaster of any sort, don't produce any sort of merchandise with blood spatter. It's not gonna age great.
See, that's what feels like. It feels like selling Woodstock 99 merch is like, it has that same energy to me. Blood splatters or not.
So the only thing
I have shit splatters,
it's like,
you know,
a Ted Bundy t-shirt.
A Ted Bundy t-shirt. Yo, the Ted Bundy, the bite mark tattoos. Have you seen that? Hope is so disgusted, dude.
Did you say the Ted Bundy bite mark tattoos?
Yeah, so white women are using Ted Bundy's bite marks as tattoos. And so they're starting to do that and like putting like his face on their thighs. It's wild as fuck.
I don't think she's going to sleep tonight.
Yeah, dude. You're welcome.
I'm going to sleep just fine, but I'm going to wake up early with like a determination.
You are fucking welcome, bro. You are so welcome, man.
Right. That's
pretty horrific.
Disconcerting.
Yeah.
You are so welcome, dude. Catherine, can I ask you a question?
Let's hear it.
Did we do a Kelly Clarkson episode, dude?
No.
Did you do a From Justin to Kelly episode? Was that?
No.
I wish, but no. I've seen that movie, Catherine, but it's been a while.
Catherine, did we not do a Kelly Clarkson episode, dude?
I don't think so. Hope's looking it up, our fact checker.
I have notes. No, I
mentioned her in a number of episodes.
No. I think we fucking did, dude. I think we're missing an episode. I just realized this. Because, oh my fucking God, like, I remember going through her catalog of her albums and I sent you two episodes and you only did one. I gotta fucking find it. I have the recording. Holy shit. All right. I give Woodstock a 7 out of 10. Fuck. What's our next episode? Shit. Our next episode, we're going to talk about the Kardashians. Yep.
Like them as a family, their family history. Are we talking about a show? Like what?
I think the show.
Okay. I don't follow the Kardashians. So just
fuck, dude.
So you know.
All right. Never mind. We know what we're going to talk about. We're going to attempt to talk about it at least because it's a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about Glee. I heard your heart stop, dude.
Can she read this one?
I literally heard your heart fucking stop.
Do I need to go watch Glee for a little bit? Holy catch up. It's been a little while. You want to watch some Glee?
Whip out the gel bracelets because we're going to be Gleeks again, bro.
Oh, God.
Let's fucking go.
I did watch Glee pretty closely for a few years there. Like, I followed it week by week.
Mm-hmm.
I was a Gleek. I wasn't a hardcore Gleek, but I was a Gleek.
You didn't do Kelly Clarkson. You did American Idol.
Yeah, because we did.
That's what we did.
And we also
No, we fucking did it, dude. I have it.
Our best breakup songs, but we didn't talk. We haven't done episodes specifically on
Catherine. I'm looking at the file right now. I'm looking at the file right fucking now. You never downloaded it. I'm looking at it right now. All right. The episode's over. I'm just going to yell at Catherine. Bye.
What episode is it?